I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the podcast. The first mission in the next phase of the search for Flight 370 and why it ended early. Let's get started. The search area shifting slightly. The big news, though, day one, using the underwater sonar scanning submersible called Bluefin 21, a somewhat shorter day one than planned. In a moment, a 360 exclusive will take you down with it so you can exactly see for yourself what it sees. First, though, the U.S. naval officer who's heading up Bluefin operations. Before that, he headed up the search with the towed pinger locator, Captain Mark Matthews, Director of Ocean Engineering, Supervisor of Salvage and Diving. Captain Matthews, the Bluefin only spent six, I understand, out of a possible 16 hours searching the seabed today. Why was that?
Well, that's correct. It aborted its mission at about the six-hour point. What this vehicle was programmed to do on this mission was maintain an altitude above the seafloor of about 30 meters while it conducted a side-scan sonar search of the area. Now, one condition that causes it to abort its dive is if it reaches its maximum operating depth of 4,500 meters. So that's what happened in this case. The charted seafloor depth that we have for this area is between 4,200 and 4,400 meters in that 5 by 8 kilometer square or rectangle that it's searching. We just hit a deeper spot than we initially planned, so we just got to bring it up, reprogram it, shift a little bit away from that deeper area, and adjust our search pattern.
Okay. The Air Chief, Marshal Angus Houston, said that the Bluefin is being used in a, quote, the most likely spot. I just was wondering about that. What makes that the most likely spot? Is it simply in relation to the four sets of pings, or is there other data that's pointing to that particular location?
Well, the information that tells us it's the most likely location is really the nature of the detection from the towed pinger locator that we had in that area. It was the site of the highest signal strength or the loudest received signal. It was also where we had an increase in signal strength as we drove through the area and then a decrease as we drove out of the area, you know, typically gaining and then losing the contact as we'd expect. And we had very good, crisp, clear signal in that area. An additional factor pointing us into that direction is, you know, that oil slick that was observed the other day. You know, certainly we're analyzing the water sample from that area to see if it was a petroleum product related to the aircraft, and we'll know that over the next couple of days. And there's many possible sources of an oil sheen on the surface of the ocean. But it's, you know, would be one explanation is that it was lubricating fluid or control oil from the aircraft.
So the just so I understand on the aborting the Bluefin today, it's not manually controlled. It's automatically set at a certain depth.
You want a good signal return from that sonar, so you kind of program it to maintain a certain altitude above the seafloor. And you program it before it goes in the water. You have some rudimentary communication between the vehicle and the ship, giving the position where the vehicle is at. You can command it to abort. You can command it to start a certain search pattern that you've already programmed.
And are you seeing things in real time from the vehicle, or is that just data that you get once it comes back up?
So once you recover the vehicle, you go through this four-hour process where you replace the batteries, you reprogram it, and you download the data that you collected on the previous mission. You then take about 2 to 4 hours to go through that data to see what the vehicle observes. So there's no live data link transmitting the information, giving real-time feedback.
Do you have a sense of, I mean, the area that you're looking at based on the four pings that you did receive over time, how big an area are you talking about, and how long would it take the underwater vehicle, the Bluefin that you have, to actually kind of scan that entire area?
So it would take approximately 6 weeks to 2 months to cover that whole entire area. Right now what we're doing is we're targeting specific areas based on the information we received from the towed pinger locator, giving us kind of an indication of higher probability areas or higher priority areas to go search in, and that's what we're doing. This is more of what I'd call a tactical search than a strategic search.
Do you believe you have pings from two separate, I know you can't say for sure that they're black boxes, but from two separate man-made devices?
The best indication we have is we've got a very crisp indication that it's a man-made transmitter, at least one. So I'm more confident saying one than two.
Captain Matthews, good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Nice talking to you, Anderson.